and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Think of it as a cultural experience. Black Friday sales.
We've been talking and laughing and looking at the doorbuster sales.
Black Friday signifies the official start of the holiday shopping season. A cold snap and snow could affect millions of Americans this weekend. Weather Channel meteorologist Kelly Cass has details.
2-3 feet of snow for the Tug Hill Plateau, possibly even more than that. South of Buffalo, down into Ashtabula, Ohio, northern Michigan, that lake effect snow is with us all the way through Monday and even Tuesday.
President-elect Donald Trump's pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services wants fluoride removed from drinking water. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
There are areas that have stopped adding fluoride. So I think it's important to distinguish. There are some places they add fluoride. There are places where there are naturally occurring levels of fluoride. Where they have decided not to keep adding fluoride, we have seen rates of cavities go up.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. Work on requests for the state budget is getting underway in December. Terry Barr has the story.
There's a group focusing on the importance of the arts in Wisconsin, and it's getting ready to advocate for more support during the upcoming legislative budget process. Create Wisconsin is a nonprofit based in Madison and trying to expand opportunities in the arts across the state.
It's an investment in people, businesses, organizations, and communities. People are really hungry for that authentic, unique. Mm-hmm. That's what we try to nurture and to assist.
Ann Katz is the director of Create Wisconsin. She says the Badger State remains in last place when it comes to arts funding and support.
Everybody wants their community to be vibrant and healthy and have people visit and live there. And so we try to help people figure out what they need, and then we figure out how we can help them.
A post-election recap and pre-budget planning gets underway next week. Learn more about Create Wisconsin. Go to createwisconsin.org. I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin State Parks are moving to a new 12-month admission pass. Brittany Merlot explains the difference.
It's something that's been available in surrounding states and will now be here in Wisconsin, starting Monday, December 2nd. The new pass, available for purchase, will be valid for an entire year from the day you buy it, when previously all passes expired on
December
31st.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
Even if you bought it just a few months prior in October. With the new pass, let's say you purchase it in February. It'll be good until the following February. The pass will be marked to indicate the month and year in which it'll expire. People are encouraged to save time by buying their passes online. Orders placed online will receive an email receipt with a confirmation number that can be used immediately for park entry. I'm Brittany Merlot for Civic Media News.
And I'm Lisa Hale. For these stories and more, visit civicmedia.us.
The Badgers lose to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers lost to Minnesota at Camp Randall 24-7. The Gophers win the Paul Bunyan Axe. The Badgers finish with a losing record of 5-7, ending their streak of 22 years of going to a bowl game. Head coach Luke Fickell on his seniors' final game at Wisconsin.
I feel bad for them. I apologize for not putting us in position to put them guys out of here and send them guys out of here the way they should be sent out for all that they've done for us. That's not what they deserve.
NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Lions next after beating the Dolphins last night 30-17. Matt LaFleur says the offensive line needs to improve their blocking for running back Josh Jacobs.
We got a lot of room for improvement there, and they know it, but we got to be better. Sometimes we got to have better play calls. Sometimes we got to have better execution.
The Chicago Bears fired their head coach Matt Eberflus after they lost to the Lions yesterday, failing to use a timeout at the end of the game. Assistant Thomas Brown named interim head coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, gradually becoming mostly sunny this afternoon. Our high today in the upper teens to low 20s. Tonight, mostly clear, our low between 5 and 10. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, upper teens to low 20s. By Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time, an all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, November 29th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. And in part two today, we're going to speak with Superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Ron Rasmussen, will be with us. Well, he'll be bringing Tracy and Becky with him from Teen Truth at Rams. Looking forward to that. Right now, we always enjoy talking with our good friends at the EDRC. We have Casey Nemeth in with us right now, Caregiving Support Coordinator. Casey, good to see you. Good to have you in studio.
Hi, thanks for having me. Always great to be here.
Always appreciate talking with you and any of our friends at the EDRC. Please say hi to them for us. Wish them a good Thanksgiving for us and everything. Love the work that you guys do and appreciate the work you guys do. We're going to focus a little bit on that today, Casey. Let's dive right in. What the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin does and who they serve. I always like to touch on this in making sure that we our audience understands the services that are available to them and the wide range of those things.
Right. The Aging and Disability Resource Center provides information and resources to individuals and families that helps promote choice and independence. And we do that through education, advocacy, access to services that may prevent, delay, and lessen the impacts of aging and disabilities in the lives of adults. You can contact us to help talk about choices, rights that you have, and help plan for your future. We serve people that are 60 years of age and older, adults with intellectual disabilities or physical disabilities, 18 years of age or older, youth with disabilities that are transitioning into adulthood, and families, friends, and caregivers. And our ADRC is a 4-county region, so we serve Lincoln, Langlade, Marathon, and Wood counties.
Thank you for that, Casey. It's a great answer, and it really gives us a good idea, not only of the things you guys do, but the coverage area you have. I appreciate that. Now, what about being what is a caregiver? This is one that even stumped me years ago when I first started talking to you guys. So what is a caregiver, and how can the EDRC support caregivers?
A caregiver can look and be many different things. You may be providing assistance to another person with quite a few, maybe personal cares or care inside their home. Maybe you're just dropping off a meal to your neighbor or just doing some grocery shopping. Or maybe it's something as simple as just stopping by your neighbor and saying hi, or a family member and popping in and saying hi. Caregiving can look very different, from extreme care to just minimal care. The Aging and Disability Resource Center has 2 caregiver support coordinators that are able to connect with you to provide information and resources to help make your role as a caregiver a little easier. We can meet with you and discuss each unique situation, share information on resources, and provide support, help identify workable solutions, and help connect you with respite or maybe other in-home care options. Some grant funding can potentially be available to help you as a caregiver as well, because the cost of services and supplies needed to care for someone in their home, you know, can really add up. So the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program is a grant that could potentially be available for reimbursable services. Some of those services may look like maybe care through a day center, maybe some short-term respite care if you're needing that, maybe some in-home care, someone coming into your home and helping provide some of those on-hand services, some home safety modifications. Maybe you're needing some grab bars, some lifelines, some fall protection programs. There's also some automatic pill dispensers, wandering programs. So lots of different things out there that can really help your caregiving journey and help keep your person in the home for as long as possible.
And one of the things that I didn't know about being a caregiver and helping my parents and those things is how important it was to take care of myself. So much of my focus is on those that, you know, like a lot of people out there that want to do right by their family and their loved ones, and they tend to put them ahead of themselves. And then you add on the Midwesterner factor, where we just, you know, we could have a broken leg and we're not going to tell anybody. We're just going to keep doing what we do. You add all these factors on, and we are very susceptible to this here in this state, and especially in central Wisconsin, the more rural you get. It's all the more reason to reach out to our EDRC for things that they could help with. And that could include some of the great things that Casey just brought up, like some of the grants. I don't think a lot of people realize those exist. Looking at that, seeing if you qualify for those, reach out to the ADRC about that. But one thing that I learned from you guys is sometimes one of the greatest gifts you guys give is just being good listeners. And just being able to have somebody to talk about these things with and say, I'm going through this. Oh, I'm not alone. There's other people going through these things, along with all the other great services that you have to offer.
Right, definitely. It's very important that you take care of yourself. We always tell people, if you're the primary caregiver and you're not taking care of yourself, how are you going to be able to care for the person that you're caring for? You know, and that can look many different ways. Some people just need, you know, that 5-minute break from someone. Other people, you know, a weekend away may be really, really beneficial. You know, so there's a lot of different options in between that we can help you determine what is going to be best for your caregiving situation.
And it's all the timely for us to be bringing this up, Casey, because November is National Caregiver Appreciation Month. And I want to get into what that means exactly, because it sounds great. And it's a great one we want to promote and highlight. But what does it specifically mean?
Yeah, so November is National Family Caregiver Support Month. So they started recognizing this in 1994, and in 1997, a proclamation was signed for this event, and it's really just a time to honor family caregivers across the country, just taking an opportunity to raise awareness about caregiving issues, educate communities, and increase support for caregivers. Family caregivers are really the primary support of older adults and people with disabilities in the U.S. So it's just really important that we recognize the great work that they do, not only every day, but, you know, certainly we try to just take November to just really appreciate the great work that they do and, you know, how sometimes detrimental it can be, and just remind them to take care of themselves.
It's a great opportunity to be able to thank the people in this industry, the professionals, the people that go to school for this, that do this as a living, as a passion. We appreciate them so much. As much as we want to shout out the people that are doing this, and, you know, like I said, may not even know that they are or doing this because, well, that's my mom and dad. That's what I do. Of course, you're going to take care of them. Those kind of, all the above. We want to shout out all these great individuals and the good work that they're doing and let them know that they're not alone in these things, and to not only help take care of themselves, but you have plenty of resources that can help you do that. Where can I get some of the information about this that might be helpful to people out there, or that I know somebody that's a caregiver and I can make sure they get this information, Casey?
Right. If you're interested in learning more about services that we offer at the Aging and Disability Resource Center, you can visit our website, which is www.adrc-cw.org. You'll find services that are offered. You'll find upcoming classes and events on our calendar. You'll find helpful resources such as brochures. We have a monthly newsletter called Choices. There is a resource directory in there, so lots of good information. You can also give us a call at 888-486-9545. And our great staff will be able to help you and determine, you know, what direction and who you need to talk to for your specific situation.
And we'll get that information out there again before we wrap up. Casey, one of the things that we talked about here with this subject is certainly, communication, having a support staff, you know, people to talk to. Is there a support group information in the area for caregivers?
Yeah, so there's actually quite a few options for different support groups. Sometimes people can feel that support groups might be intimidating, not exactly sure what they might entail or what that might look like, but we just really encourage people to try it and just give it a try one time and see if it's something for you. We have, you know, people that can be very active in support group. There's also people that just come and listen, and that can be really beneficial for them as well. So the ADRC offers a virtual support group monthly. So if that is something that you're interested in, that is the fourth Monday of each month. You can give us a call and we can provide you some more information with that. If you are working and maybe can't make support groups during the day, we do have a evening support group that meets from 7 to 8 p.m. virtually, and that is the first Monday of the month as well. That specifically is for people that are caring for dementia, but again, great support group to check out if you're a working family caregiver, which is very common. We also have an in-person support caregiver support group that meets Mondays from 10 a.m. to noon, and that is at the St. Luke's Church here in Wisconsin Rapids. So if that is something that you're interested in, that is a great group that meets together. You can give a phone call to 715-523-5990 to register for that class. And then there is also another support group that meets at the Centralia Center, and that meets the second Wednesday of the month from 9:30 to 11, and that is a general caregiver support group. So lots of different options, in-person, virtual, during the day, in the evening, whatever meets your needs.
I love the options. For one, the different times of that, that's really smart. You know, it's such a good point that certain people are going to be able to attend that others wouldn't at certain hours of the day. And the option for virtual is really unique. I don't know that I've heard that with a lot of support groups. So that's, especially with the people that were looking to attend these support groups, that could be really key for that. And it's great to hear all these different resources and support groups for this that I think a lot of us are realizing, oh, we didn't even know that some of these were around. It also speaks to how important this is in our community, that we have these many support groups, that we have this many resources. It really speaks to people out there not in the industry or that may not know about this. Wow, that's a big one. If we have these many support groups, we have this much attention being put to this and everything. It really speaks to how important this is. Volunteer information to start volunteering in this realm, in this industry, because while I think my focus is so much on the caregivers themselves or the people that they're helping, there's a lot of people out there that want to be a part of this, that maybe they don't have somebody to caregive, but they would like to be able to help.
Right. We are very fortunate to have an amazing number of volunteers at our organization that really help keep all the programs going. And, volunteering can really give you a sense of purpose and meaning. And so we are always looking for volunteers. We are willing to work with your schedule. If you're interested in just giving it a one-time try, or maybe you have a group of people that you work with that you would like to take some time and kind of do some team building with, that's another option. Or if you're looking for more of a long-term volunteer option, we are certainly willing and able to work with you, whether that be maybe packaging meals for our home delivered meals program, maybe working at our senior dining sites with setting up and serving meals and cleaning up. We also have homebound adults that are on the Meals on Wheels program and delivering home delivered meals to them. And I'll say that I've done that in the past, and it is the most rewarding thing I think that you can do. So like I said, even if you just want to give it a try and see if it's something for you, we're willing to work with you and open to what you're able to help us out.
My mom and dad, actually, over dinner the other day, we were talking about Meals on Wheels, and I mentioned how I had done this and stuff, and they were asking me a bunch of questions, and I didn't realize until about two questions in, oh, they're thinking of doing this. And my mom and dad are in their mid-60s, and they're not, they don't get around that well, but they get around pretty good. And my dad realizes that he gets around better than most, and he wants to, you know, do something. He wants to get back. And they were worried at first, well, I don't know. Can we do this? Can we handle that schedule? Yes, you can. Before even I told them right away, I'm like, yes, you can. Because mm-hmm. the ADRC will work with you on these things. Whether you don't want to go maybe to any other side of town, or you only have this hour free during the day or something, if it's doable, they'll figure out a way to make it work. And Casey, I could not agree with you more. I've done a lot of volunteering in my life, and there's a lot of great nonprofits and organizations out there that could use you. But Meals on Wheels is so rewarding. It really is. It's not only a great opportunity to meet some new people, to a chance to talk with some new people and learn some new stories or anything like that, but you are oftentimes that person that lets us know how this person is doing, that they're okay and everything. And there's that part of the factor. And the feeling that you have with something like that, I promise you, it was almost 20 years ago that I did this, and it's still, talking about it, I still feel that same feeling. We encourage you to reach out to DDRC and maybe join us for Meals on Wheels.
Yes, thanks you.
Casey, as we're wrapping up here, let's just go over one more time, not only those great things and all the great stuff that we've been over today, but how people can find out more about these things. How can they reach you and your staff?
They can call us at our 888 number, which is 888-486-9545. You can also check out information at our website, which is www.adrc-cw.org, where you'll find lots of different information and different calendars with classes and events that are coming up. So we welcome you to check it out or give us a call, and we can certainly help in any way that we can on your caregiving journey.
Be sure to follow them on social media as well, everybody. It's a great way to keep up to date on everything they are doing and maybe share on your page what they are doing. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Casey, always good talking with you. Say hi to everybody over there for us. Wish them a good Thanksgiving, and thanks again for joining us.
Will do. Thanks for having me, James.
Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
We're all thankful for the many blessings we've received this past year. Relatives and friends from near and far will descend on our homes to eat the biggest meal of the year, watch football, and then eat some more. And what happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. That's why right now is a great time to get your holding tanks and septic systems pumped out for the holiday season ahead. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where our trucks smell like sweet cherry pie because the pumpkin pie is all gone.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you, being played in by the silliest name song of all time. It really felt like the Police were just like such good songwriters. They're like, I bet we can make a hit with this just nonsense.
Do, 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 da, da, da.
And they worked.
It worked.
I don't know how high it went on the charts, but it went high on the charts.
Yeah.
It was a hit. It was a hit. We've got a hit coming up this weekend. Everybody, I shouldn't say weekend, week. Of course, we have Rekindle the Spirit. We're going to be talking about that coming up in a little bit. That is showing up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. One of our favorite events of the year.
Mm-hmm.
One of our signature events here in Rapids.
I think so.
That's coming up, and of course, Turkey Day, Thanksgiving is right around the corner, so you know we're going to be talking a lot of turkey this week.
Turkey.
No matter how serious you are about your diet, the biggest challenge of the year, most experts will tell you, is Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Even bigger than Christmas, Thanksgiving is the one that can really just throw a monkey wrench into that diet. A new report looked at how many calories people are downing at the Thanksgiving table.
Ooh, that was a slip there. drowning in.
Yeah, every once in a while, dyslexia actually leads. It's so bad. It's
brilliant.
And there's good news and bad news. The average American calorie intake during the Thanksgiving meal is just, quote unquote, just 2,092 calories.
Wow.
Which doesn't seem that bad. According to a dietary guidelines in the U.S., adults should consume anywhere between 1,600 and 3,000 calories per day, depending on a bunch of stuff like age, weight, and gender. Of course, that's the whole day, so the Thanksgiving number is only in range if it's your only meal that day.
Right.
Which isn't something you should do.
No, no. Some people aren't kidding themselves. This year, 14% of people are planning to eat over 3,000 calories, and 4% are planning to eat over 5,000 calories.
Whoa.
And Thursday isn't the end of it. The average person will also be eating about 2,270 calories worth of leftovers.
Ooh.
Nearly 40% of people said that they will eat more than that. And 27% said 3,000 calories in leftovers, while 9% said 5,000.
How do they know? That seems...
You make a chart, and you put it all in there, and you got to hit that number, Seth.
Challenge. Are they goals? Is that what this is? I'm going to hit 5,000 this year. Yeah.
Certainly a lot of workout people have have a goal for how many calories to take in a day.
Especially if you're bulking up, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was told by a couple of people that this is the way that I would help gain weight if I kept track of my calories more. And I gave myself a goal of every day to have this many calories and everything. That was 20 years ago. at least 20 years ago.
I don't know if you did it, James. I don't know if you achieved that goal.
Yeah, it didn't happen. On average, Americans plan to eat Thanksgiving leftovers the most. Their calories are going to be the most.
Oh, okay.
An 8% plan to eat them for a week or more, their leftovers.
Okay.
Just as a side story.
I wouldn't eat them much past a week.
Unless you freeze them.
That's true. If you freeze them, you're good. But yeah.
I genuinely think, like, my dad loves family, loves being thankful for things. He's a big perspective guy, always has been. I genuinely think the only purpose for Thanksgiving for him is the leftovers.
Are the best.
I'm telling you.
He loves a leftover turkey sandwich.
Yep.
Loaded
up, you put everything on there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Thanksgiving, he's always good. He's cutting the turkey. He's a good guy and all that stuff. The day after, you'll see old smile on his face. Just happy just eating that turkey sandwich.
Nice.
Well, the thing about Thanksgiving food is how many vegetables are the centerpiece of your Thanksgiving meal? Pretty much zero. And especially here in the Midwest, green beans kind of make an appearance in a green bean casserole,
right?
Which isn't really a vegetable. So that could be part of it.
Hey, man, down south, mac and cheese is a vegetable. So
that is not a vegetable,
well,
Seth.
I don't care where
you are in the country.
They call it a vegetable. I'm telling you, it is. Well,
other name.
Now, wait a minute, Melissa. You know, sweet potatoes and potatoes, those are technically vegetables.
Technically.
Yeah,
they're also full of carbs.
But they're also full of other nutrients, too. Don't badmouth the potato.
I'm not bad-mouthing him. I love potatoes. I love all Thanksgiving foods. But I'm just saying, that's maybe why the calorie count is so high.
Probably. It's all the stuff they put in the potatoes and in sweet potatoes and the green bean casserole. It's all the extras. Yeah. Yep.
A little later in the 9 o'clock, we're going to talk about who you'd like to be sitting next to, what celebrity you would like to be sitting next to during that Thanksgiving meal, and what Americans are planning to eat during that Thanksgiving meal. We got those coming up for you a little bit later.
I'm going to hear the weird ones. Yeah. Like, you know, the people eat like pasta, you know, for things. What is that? Jeez.
How much it's going to cost is where we go next, though. And here's some welcome news. The American Farm Bureau says that your Thanksgiving dinner should cost a little less than it did back last year at this time.
Ooh, cool.
They crunch the numbers each year and look at around a dozen Thanksgiving staples like turkey, stuffing, pumpkin pie. And they've been doing this for over 40 years now. According to a report, a basic Thanksgiving meal for 10 people will cost an average of $58.08 or $5.81 per person if you are looking to charge your family members as they walk
just,
in the door.
Just in case, you know, that's right up.
That's down 5% from a year ago.
That's actually a really good deal.
That's bad.
$5 for a person? That's not bad.
That's a cheap meal.
Yeah.
And 5% down. Over there. So it's almost as if the inflation and things we were dealing with had nothing to do with politics, but more to do with a pandemic that happened and some other factors that happened.
A lot of other factors that happened. Yeah.
And in fact, it was actually down, and our numbers are more correct to what they should be.
And our economy is doing well.
For almost a year now. That's fascinating. Wow. Because that's not what I was being told over, beaten over the head with over the last 4 months. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, American Farm Bureau. It's almost as if we've had this here for decades. This wonderful
all this great information, right?
Coming from the backbone of our country and our farmers. That's that's fascinating. It's still 19% more than the same meal cost pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. But that is how inflation and that's how numbers work. Yes. That's how the economy works.
Yes.
But they say if you adjust for inflation, it's actually the second cheapest it's been since they started tracking these prices back in the mid 80s.
Wow. Now that is saying something.
And that's fascinating.
That's cool.
And there's a very important part of that sentence. If you adjust your inflation, if you adjust to today's standards. That's not hard for people to do when we're talking about box office numbers and you're comparing Gone with the Wind with Forrest Gump. It takes people 1 second to be like, well, of course it's different because
the prices were cheaper back
prices
then,
have
right?
Gone up.
Yep. But God help us when politics get involved and everything. Then all of a sudden everybody wants to appoint somebody to blame. Somebody to blame. Yep. When guess what? 99% of things in life usually ain't somebody to blame, and if there is, they're dead. The people to blame that were alive 50, right. 60 years ago five, six decades ago even and everything.
So much of it is how we've set up our the structural, how we set up our economy, how we set up all this stuff. Yeah, that's why we have these things that happen.
Turkey is the most expensive item on the shopping list. They say a 16-pounder going to cost you $25.
Okay. Makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah. They have a nice graph here that you can find. If you go to their website, you can find out more. I'll make sure to get that website out there before we wrap up. But their Thanksgiving dinner. So turkey, $25. Cranberries, 12-ounce, going to be $2.35. Sweet potatoes, $2.93. Why do I feel like I'm doing an episode of Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah.
You got to get
it's
close.
It's a supermarket sweep.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing. Yeah,
there we go.
Carrots and celery, about 84 cents. Green peas, $1.73. Nine pie shells, $3.40.
Nine.
$3.40. Dinner rolls.
You got to have all the different kinds.
Wow, that's a lot.
What? From you about pie?
I'm just shocked by it. Maybe I'm delirious. It's like, oh my God, nine pies. Oh my God.
I'm going to horrify you here, Seth. When I was younger, I actually got in trouble with my mom because we didn't have a ton of snacks in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I love like pie crust. And I ate one of her pie crusts as a snack.
Oh.
And oh, dude.
There was like three of them. There was like three, and I thought she had an extra or something like that. I didn't know that she was like, she had specifically planned like baking like five different pies,
right.
And she was going to give them out as gifts and everything. And,
That's hilarious. Hey, man, when my mom used to make pies, she made her own dough. And if she had leftover dough, she would cut those into strips. And she'd put sugar and cinnamon on
elephant
them.
Elephant ears. Yep.
And then just bake. Oh, they were good.
God,
oh, my God.
My mom did that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Mom, way to drop the ball. Like, I could have just been eating those.
See, you just have those little extra pieces of pie crust.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The other thing to use extra pie crust for this year is the turkey or the Thanksgiving leftover pot pie.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
People are you layer all the leftovers in there and you bake it. Yum.
That's good stuff.
I can still remember her reaction to this.
Of course you can.
It was Thanksgiving morning, and it was one of those ones where you expect, like, fury, and instead it's just, oh, very disappointed in you, James. Like, when she'd call you James,
it's
not Jimmy.
She was exhausted.
James. Yes, yeah. It would almost have been better if she just yelled at
you.
Yeah,
I was going to say, and here is James devastated.
Yeah. Whole milk, $3, $3.21. Pumpkin pie mix, $4. So it's just giving you kind of the numbers here. They have dinner rolls here at $4.16. I will agree with that if they are the Hawaiian dinner rolls, if they are that. That is one item I could see myself, like, everything in the store, well, we can get a cheaper version of this, mm-hmm. this, or whatever. Hawaiian rolls, $30,000. Okay. All right.
He's willing to pay premium for those Hawaiian rolls, man.
I don't care. I don't know if it's even a meal without those. I'm not sure. They're good rolls. They're good rolls. We're going to keep rolling here. And we got the great 9 o'clock hour lined up for us. Beth Habhack are going to be in with us with the kitchens open. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun segment. After that, we'll get into some entertainment news. We have to say goodbye to a game show legend. Want to talk a little bit about the director of Wicked and him talking about asking the fans for something. I will go over the box office numbers over the weekend a little bit, too. It was a pretty interesting weekend with the box office. I got all that coming up. Let you know what's new on your small screen. what is coming up on your local theater stage, and we've got to talk Rekindle the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
That coming up as
awesomeness.
Well. A lot of fun stuff lined up for you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, everybody. And I do want to remind everyone that we have a blood drive happening today in Wisconsin Rapids from 2 to 7 over at my old stomping grounds, the former Eastern High School cafeteria. Head on over to 311 Lincoln Street today from 2 to 7 and get be a hero. Now, I've said this before, and with the rise of, still of superhero movies and everything, there's a lot of people that think, well, in order to be a superhero, I need a cape, I need a tragic backstory, and I need a nickname. No, all you got to do is donate blood, and
that's
you are
need.
A superhero.
Super
that
easy.
That is it. And it is a lot easier, and you're not going to trip over your cape. You don't have to have a moody backstory.
You have it so long, man.
So, yeah, it's a lot
keep
easier.
Keep that cape shorter.
Donate if you can today, everybody. 2 to 7 over at the former Eastern High School cafeteria over here in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage you to do so. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR.
This is locally grown. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. If the holiday season or even the weather has you feeling sad, there is something you can do and a number you can call. Terry Barr has more.
If happy and holidays isn't quite ringing true for you, you're not alone. A recent survey shows close to 40% of people feel extra stressed during this time of year. The best thing health experts say you can do? Check in with others and talk about how you're feeling. Here's Dr. Kristen Lierley.
I see it all the time. And I think that there is a rule of thumb that we can apply across the board, which is ask someone how they're doing and then listen. You know, we try to solve their problems. No, it's not your job to solve their problems. It's your job to be their ear.
And Wisconsin has a confidential crisis number you could call or text. It's 988. It offers extra support every day, including the holidays. More than 130,000 people in our state have used the 988 number since it started in 2022. I'm Terry Barr.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us what kind of winter weather we can expect this year.
Wisconsin experiences an average of 3 to 6 winter storms during the season, but last season was slow for snow. In fact, tons of businesses suffered with the lack of it, especially in the North Woods. But things are changing in the weather pattern.
So a weak La Nina tends to be better for that, to keep it snow and that, and frequent systems, the Alberta Clippers, as we say. So a lot of nickel and dime snow opportunities, more frequent cold air intrusions, too.
That's Matt Friedline at the National Weather Service.
Today is Black Friday, but tomorrow's the big day for small businesses. Founded in 2010, the first Saturday after Thanksgiving became Small Business Saturday, an effort to help small businesses gain local support during the busiest of shopping seasons. In 2023, U.S. shoppers spent $17 billion at small businesses on Small Business Saturday. I'm Lisa Hale for Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickid Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight and cold with lows close to 10. Then a little more sunshine as we look here into your Saturday afternoon, highs into the low 20s. And mostly sunny for Sunday, high temps warm up into the mid 20s. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Hey there, everyone. James J. Maloff here, host and program director with WFHR, wishing you all a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy!
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results, Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's all about comedy as I welcome Chicago comedian Pat McGann and host of MeTV's Tune In With Me, Bill Leff. And we get a sneak peek at a new show called Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, November 29th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And in this segment today, we are going to have some fun, everybody. First up, we've got Superintendent of Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Ronald A. Rasmussen, here with us. Ron, I was going to make you say hi, but thank you for
good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here, Ron. Appreciate the time. That is all you're going to hear from Ron today. He brought in some great friends. He brought in some guests with us here today. We want to give them some focus and give them some time. First, I want to introduce Tracy Ginter. Tracy, and I wanted to introduce Tracy. And we're going to be talking about Teen Truth at RAMS, this great program going on. Tracy, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having us.
And we want to introduce the kids. We got some great kids here with us today to talk about Teen Truth. I will let you guys introduce yourselves, and we'll go right down the line here.
I'm Micah Wettstein, a seventh grader at RAMS.
I'm Iris Apps, also a 7th grader at RAMS.
I'm Kari Westfall, and I'm also a 7th grader at RAMS.
I'm Emily Kyrie, and I'm also a 7th grader at RAMS.
Fantastic. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it. I want to send a shout out to your parents, to your teachers. Thank them for letting you guys be here today and tell us about Teen Truth. And Iris, I understand you're going to kind of take the lead on this one. I appreciate you doing that. Right away, I want to compliment you on your mic skills. That was great. You were doing a great job there. That was very good thinking right there. Now, I want to dive into what Teen Truth is. I'm an old person. I don't know what this is. Please, Iris, explain this to us in the audience.
So Teen Truth is basically a club at RAMS that helps make students feel welcome and just wants to make RAMS a better place overall.
Very simple and a great program. That's a wonderful thing. Now, was this a program that we saw a need for something like this, and that's why we have this program come about? Does anybody know the history of this program and where it started, where it came from?
I joined when I was first a sixth grader, but I'm aware that it started before I came to RAMS, so I'm not quite sure.
Sure. Well, we'll look into that one. We'll find out. But I am curious about the program and what it means to you in each individually and why you joined this program. So let's go ahead and again go down the line and let us know why you joined the program and what it means to you.
Being a part of this program is a lot of fun, and it makes you feel like a better person being a part of it and helping other kids. I joined it because me and my mom came up with this idea, and I was told to go to Teen Truth about it.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
I joined Teen Truth because I saw that it was an opportunity to help other kids that might be struggling, and I just wanted to, you know, be a helper, it makes you feel like a better person, and it just makes you kind of feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I joined Teen Truth because I love helping other people and seeing people struggle. That was my big goal, to help them out at RAMS.
So I've traveled around a few states, and I've seen that some people aren't as fortunate as others. So I really wanted to get in this program and help make our school and our community just a better place for everyone, so it can be enjoyable for everyone, not just...
Yeah, yeah. I can actually relate with that very well. I was I had 10 different addresses before I was 10. I moved around a lot. I'm a transplant myself, and it was very difficult for me to make friends. Not just because of my hair. It was just a tough thing. But a program like this would have been a great icebreaker, if you will. Would have been great kind of like segue for kids, especially kids that are moving to an area or new to an area or something, or even just kids that are maybe in a different school. Maybe your family moved to a different side of town, so you're in a different school. Some of those things. It sounds like such a wonderful program. But the thing that really stood out to me that all four of you really answered with, said without saying, the empathy. Did you guys hear the empathy to the other adults in this room, the adults out there listening? Did you hear the empathy out of these kids? That's something you can't teach. Like, as great as our education system is, as wonderful as our teachers are, you can't necessarily teach that. That's something that is just instilled in them, is in their soul. And that feels really good, you guys, to hear that from these four, let alone I'm sure the other, your classmates and everything that have that kind of empathy. We need more of that in this day and age. We need also, people noting these kind of things, that kids need these kind of things. And nobody's going to know that better than you guys. Like, you guys taking initiative with this program and really taking the ball and running with it, I can't explain to you how great that is. Not only because it lets us as adults know that this is an issue we need to be paying attention to, which is really important because we don't always pay attention as good as we should. But it's also something to cool to see from our perspective, you guys really caring about this, really engaged in this and everything. We don't always know what you guys want or like or think is cool or anything like that. And we can see right here, hey, this is important. Hey, this is something that matters. Tracy, I'm curious for you why you yourself got involved with this and if you're seeing some of the same stuff that I am with this this great club, this great project.
Absolutely. As building principal, I see a lot of the needs, and I also see how great our students are. And their project that they came to talk about today with the caring carts really was generated. It was a student-led initiative. It was student-funded. And 100% they have been behind all of it. So I'm very proud of what they're doing and support them in any way we can. So.
Thank you for that, Tracy. And guys, let's talk about that, the caregiver carts. Let's dive right into that a little bit and let the audience know what those are. Does anybody want to take the lead on that one? Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
So when I first started at Rams, I had an eye-opening experience, and I was faced with different student situations, and I just wanted to help as best as possible. So with the help of my mom, we came up with the idea of the caring closets. And so I went to Teen Truth about it, and together we evolved it into the caring carts.
And what does this exactly do? How do they help people? The caring carts, how did that work?
So we know that some people are less fortunate than others, as I said already. And we put supplies in there like lotions or hairbrushes or toothpaste and stuff. Because if some people don't have that at home or they have issues, they can just grab it from the carts.
It's one of those things that, so as you get older, you'll see this a lot more too, especially here in the Midwest. We are proud. We are proud people. We don't like to ask for help. And it's kind of in us to, you know, just kind of do our thing. Even if we do need help, well, we're just going to keep pushing forward and keep doing things. One of the toughest things to do as an adult is to ask for help oftentimes. So to have these kind of things for kids where you can just grab the item, you don't necessarily have to ask, and there's no kind of, you know, shame or any of those kind of things that can be involved. And not to say we should feel those things, but we're human and we do sometimes. For kids to be doing this stuff, for you guys to be doing this early on, it only can lead to, as adults, being more comfortable with this, not just for yourselves, but when you see other people going through it. Come back to the empathy. And the empathy that you all have shown and have, and the empathy for something like this, to see people that have some less than you and not look down at them, not think less of them, but the other side of that, to want to help them, to want to do good by them, a hand up so that they can stand up kind of thing. It's a really cool program. That's a very unique thing to be able to do. And so you guys have been also doing ways to finding ways to raise funds for this, to add to this cause. How have you been doing that?
Getting donations for this, we have gone to grocery stores, and people have donated money or donations there. We also put something out on the Rams Facebook page for parents to donate things to Rams, and we have a certain place in the office that these donations go to.
Very cool. You guys got all the boxes checked. You've thought of everything. If the community is hearing this and maybe you would like to add to this cause, add to this project and be a part of it and everything, but maybe you don't have kids in school or something like that, can just an everyday citizen, can we add to this? Can we donate to this cause?
Yes.
Cool. Totally. Very cool. Very smart, too. Very good idea. It opens it up a little bit more. Ron, I did have a question for you. I did want to ask you something about this, especially I know that you're not new to the public school system by any means, but new to the position. I know how prepared and how much you prep for this job and going into it and everything, but there are got to be things like this that you might not have thought of or seen coming. What does it mean for you in your position as superintendent to see these things initiated, done so well, and so much of it involving the kids?
Yeah, I think you hit on it a little earlier when you talked about empathy amongst our students and then understanding for those around them and to make decisions to better our community. Many times I think our students get a bad rap because you see something on the news and you just can bring that forth to all students and all kids at that age level. We're blessed by students that want to make a difference, not only in their school and their community. Service learning is a really important part of what we try to offer in WRPS for students to learn from themselves, learn from the community, be involved in volunteer opportunities. Just recently on the United Way Day of Caring, I think we had almost 200 students from our district out working with the United Way that day, raking lawns across our community. And then some went to pack out on Monday and finished them that didn't get finished on Saturday. So those are important assets for our students to learn and to grow. Our community only becomes stronger by working together. And these four ladies in front of you just exemplify that.
Well said. Very well said. Thank you for that, Ron. Appreciate it. When it comes to the time commitment this group is, do you guys meet a bunch of times a week? How often do you meet and how much of a time commitment is it?
So this club can have different types of like time commitments. We, by being here, have put in the most time. We have stayed almost every time after school to help stuff the cards, been to every meetings. There are a bunch of other members in Teen Truth, but those members, like, they just show up or they only come to some of them.
That's cool. Yeah, and that just gives a little flexibility, but also wanted to make sure the audience knew how much you guys are putting into this in your own free time and everything. That's how much you care about this, to stay after school. You're staying at school later. I mean, come on. That's a pretty good example right there of how much you care about this, right? And it's encouraging to others. I am also hopeful and curious if this is a club that exists at other schools or could exist at other schools. I was going to ask you about that one, Ron. I meant to ask you before we move the mic, though.
No, so we have similar offerings in all of our school buildings. We have caring closets in some of our buildings, and we also operate a full district caring closet out of East Junior High, out of our Families in Transition program. Tessa Grishinsky is one of our school workers that oversee a lot of that programming. So as we begin to look even at our facilities of just providing those opportunities in all of our school buildings, it's on actually one of our discussion items right now is where we can provide that, because we know our schools are community connections, and especially at our elementary, those are hubs for us. And so what can we offer in those elementary buildings across the district to provide opportunities for families so their students feel that they have what they need and that helps them be successful later on?
It's this this balance you have to do with the education system, really, where it's the job is certainly to educate these kids, give them all the information they need to move on to the next grade and move on to the next level, while also giving them a safe space, a place that they're comfortable in learning in, an environment that they're feeling comfortable in, they're welcome in, and all of that. To work that balance in 2024 is not easy.
No, it's not, and as these for experience, as social media plays into that as they get older too, is, you know, that environment of feeling comfortable in your own skin, safety and security. But we know students who feel safe, want to come to school, are going to succeed academically. So trying to create that warm, welcoming environment, which Teen Truth does at RAMS and occurs with a variety of organizations at Lincoln. It's our Interact organization, our Cool to Be Kind group. So we're very happy about having students that want to assist others and create that environment.
Yeah, yeah. And we're encouraged not only as a community by these things, but a future of these things. You know, this is not only a great group for you guys and for the kids, you know, coming up, but you think about a program like this when you guys are older, when you're our ages and everything, and this program still exists, and the amount of kids that this was able to help. You guys got this started. You guys are some of the early people, the kind of trailblazers, if you will, to get this really going. And where we're going, I think, not only as education, but as a society, where we cover these bases more, we're more aware of this stuff. When we were all kids, it just wasn't something we thought about really or anything. That's not a knock at anyone, just wasn't on the radar. Now that it is, and we're more aware of it, we're able to do so much more for our kids going forward, which leads to a stronger, better future, I would think. Before I let you guys go, Ron, did you have anything you wanted to make sure we touched on before we let you guys out of here?
So as it is Thanksgiving week, there are a few things that we're thankful for moving forth. So obviously for our students, these four in front of us are a good example today. And so just caring for others within our community. Our staff are going above and beyond. And then obviously we're supportive of our community, supporting our public schools here around the Wisconsin Rapids community. And with that community support, there is a new thing that we are launching called the Rapids Wrap, which is a new community newsletter, which launched this week from the district office to all our community. So if you go to our social media, our Facebook or our Twitter feed, there is a QR code or a web address. So if you're a community member that wants to receive information from the school district, right now we're planning on it about every other month heading out to do highlights and what is occurring within the school district. Right now it's called the Rapids Wrap. And so you can sign up, and that will be emailed to you on the email address that you supply. So just another of our communication tools versus going to our Facebook page, as we're hoping to provide some really good information for you in your inbox via your email. Two other things that I would like to hit on is we have two recognition programs that recognize alumni of the school district. One is the Alumni Wall of Fame, which is in Lincoln High School. When you come into the right of the front entrance, we've recognized two or four people the last few years. So if you go to the Lincoln High School website and you just search for Alumni Wall of Fame, we're looking for nominations for alumni that have made a difference either in our community or nationally or internationally, because we know there are great individuals that have graduated from Lincoln. And we'd encourage people to look for that nomination form on our website. And then the other is the Athletic Hall of Fame. We're looking for nominations for that continuing forth. And so that is also on the Lincoln High School website. So just search for the Athletic Hall of Fame, and they are willingly soliciting nominations for the next Hall of Fame class, which will be inducted next fall at one of the home football games. So excited for those things. Yeah. And the other part is that being in a school district that operates on a trimester, when the students come back on Monday, they are in second term already. So the school year is flying by pretty quickly.
Feels good, right? That feels good. No, it doesn't feel good. No. Thank you for that, Ron. Appreciate all those updates. And certainly as we have you in next month or next time you're in, we'll talk a little bit about the holiday breaks and some of that and let people know those are coming up. But really cannot thank you all enough, not only all you guys for being here today, but bringing them in, this idea to bring these guys in. This was great. I guarantee that a lot of our audience may have not known about the Teen Truth program, and now they're more aware of it. Now they're able to be a part of it, maybe even. So thank you all. I appreciate you guys being here today, and have a great rest of your school year if we don't get to talk to you or anything like that. And keep in mind the door's open anytime. You guys want to stop by or something like that or learn about radio or anything, please. The door is always open. You guys are great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I want to send a big thank you, of course, to Pam Hilke as well, doing the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out for us. We greatly appreciate that, Pam. Keep up the great work. You guys have yourselves a good one. We will talk to you sooner than later, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time an all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.